I'm talking today with Christy Thiebaut, who is running for House District 133 out in West Houston. Christy, you have had experience as a fundraiser in the past. What was it like asking people to give money for your campaign?
I think it's a lot easier to ask for people, for other folks, especially most of my fundraising is a nonprofit, and it's easy to ask for people for a special cause like the American Heart Association or Texas Parks and Wildlife, but it's extremely always difficult to ask for yourself. But because I knew going in that I would have to do it, I'm relentless. So I don't mind doing it at all. It's tough, but.
How has your professional experience, you know, fundraising with nonprofits and working with other candidates in years past, how has that shaped your campaign?
Well, because I know what the approach is and because I know the things to do that will prime people to give to you, like show them the pathway of your success, how are you going to win the race is what every single donor wants to see. They want you to make the case. So we made the case, and then it's me just going and selling myself, which I do a pretty good job at because that's my background. So fundraising is not, it's definitely right now, especially because the summer months, it's definitely difficult. But once you make the case for how you can win and then everybody looks and sees what you're doing, it's a little bit easier. So, and plus I'm in a very competitive race. That is, it's such a win-win. So I would just say that my experience has helped me be able to take the no's and not be, what's the word I'm looking for? Not be stymied by it. If somebody wants to slam a door in my face, I'm relentless, so I just go to the next door, and I don't take it personally. There's only so much money to go around, and you just have to be very aggressive, which I am.
All right, so make the case. How do you win in this district?
Well, this district, this is sort of a very easy case, I think, to make because it is sandwiched smack in between Hubert Vaux and Scott Hochberg, which are two Democrats, and it trends very much like Hubert's. Kerry got 44% of the vote in the presidential 2004, and in Hubert's race it was 45-46. Our ethnic breakdowns are very similar. We have 35% Anglo, 27% Latino, 23% African American, and 17% Asian. So for us, it's all about turnout. But because, you know, everybody questioned whether Hubert could do it or not, and he did it, I think now makes the case for a while. She's right in between two Democratic districts. The trends are the same. They're doing things that have never been done in that district before. They're knocking doors. They're phone banking. Plus, they have all these other different layers that are happening at the same time. She has an excellent opportunity. And that's what people are looking for. It's an open seat. That's the other thing. They're looking to play both sides. A lot of people are. They're going to hedge their bets. And that's fine with me. You give money to my opponent, just give me the same amount. That's all I ask.
So. All right. The big deal in the legislature recently was school finance. A new business tax was adopted, which is being dedicated to property tax relief. There are concerns that the funding will be inadequate for that going forward, and also funding for schools wasn't really addressed. What is your assessment of the results from the special session where all this stuff was done, and where do you think the legislature needs to go from there?
Well, I mean, what I would say is I think that they didn't really address the single most important question, which is what is our long-term funding solution for education? And just by lowering your property taxes down by a certain percentage points, I can't even remember, Kier, what was it, down to a 10 cents this particular biennium and then or this year, and then next year it's 17 cents. I mean, what you're going to end up with is the exact same problem of eventually the school districts will get back up to that $1.50, and you'll have the same problem, which is the courts rule that it's a state property tax, which is illegal. So you have a short-term solution, but the long-term answer is to find a long-term funding source, and I'm not sure that I have all the answers. But it'll take some unpopular ideas that you're going to have to address in the future, and I think you're going to learn to have to make the case for those things. But also, I will say that a business tax, which unfairly hurts small businesses, is not the answer. I do believe that we don't have enough businesses paying their fair share of of the tax, but I would say that we need to look towards larger corporations. I think they've gotten a huge tax break at our expense.
Especially in this part of town, crime has been a big issue. I know you've been attending a lot of neighborhood and civic association meetings on crime. What are you hearing from people, and what do you think you as a state representative can do to address their concerns?
Well, first I would say that I truly believe that crime is the number one issue on the southwest side of town. And somebody asked me the other day, well, what is that the most important issue with African Americans or seniors or Anglos? I said it's the same issue. It's the number one most important thing, safety in your particular neighborhood. It crosses all borders. So what I would say is when we talk about it, I've talked to police officers to ask that exact same question. And the first thing they always tell me is you can make stiffer penalties for burglary of a motor vehicle, because that's really the number one crime in this area, and it's the number one rising crime. Matter of fact, it happened to me in my driveway. I was a victim of crime myself. So I think that just a Class A misdemeanor may not be the answer. When you just a slap on the wrist, 10 days in jail, there's no incentive for them not to go do it again. So I think that's one thing that we have to look at. I also think that we need, as a state legislator, that we can provide more funding for a gang task force. I know the FBI has lent us some of their personnel for the next 6 months, along with some funding that's going to address that particular issue. But they're going to have, in 6 months, again, we're going to have to go back to the FBI and ask them again for that particular funding. It's federal funding. So I think we'll have to partner with different agencies like that to solve some of our issues. Also, in our business community and the Asian community, they've talked about supplying, at their expense, cameras and surveillance equipment to at the entrances of shopping of their shopping centers up and down Bel Air. I know Jim McInville has also bought $50,000 worth of the same kind of equipment, and they're paying for it, and they're also going to monitor it. I think these are the kind of partnerships that we're going to have to look at. We're going to have to look at businesses chipping in, our community Citizens on Patrol beefing those up. I think you're going to have to look outside of the box, because there's only so much money that the city has right now, and they're doing everything they can to recruit more police officers. We're just going to have to look outside the box, be more creative, and state reps need to pay attention to that and find what we can do to help. And I think I've come up with a couple of solutions. So.
Now, you talk about upgrading penalties for burglary of motor vehicle. In the last regular session, Senator John Whitmire, who is in charge of criminal justice matters in the Senate, he basically put a moratorium on increasing penalties for any crime on the grounds that the prison system didn't have enough room for people. There was some measures passed for probation reform that were ultimately vetoed by Governor Perry. How do you deal with the fact that especially in times when education needs funding and property tax cuts need funding, how do you deal with the fact that the prisons are full?
Well, you do it two ways. Number one, you have to assess which crimes actually deserve what type of jail crime. I think you can't enforce penalties on a particular crime unless you're willing to look at the reason why some people are in jail, maybe for some small drug offenses or for whatever reason it be. But I'm with you. I don't think building more prisons is the answer. You can't get enough guards anyway at the low salary that they make to work at a prison. So it is a difficult question, but I think you have to prioritize what's important, what crimes are causing what, and look at it that way. But also, I think you have to beef up after school programs. I think we need to keep our kids busy after school. We need to keep them in some type of a program, or they'll end up mischievous on the street, committing crimes, doing silly things like breaking into cars. They might do it for fun or because they're bored, but still, it should be a stiffer crime than a Class A misdemeanor. I'm sorry.
Another issue that's dominating the news these days is immigration. What are you hearing from people in your district about the issues of immigration, illegal immigration, border security, and so on? And again, what do you believe the state legislature, what can you do to address those concerns?
I'm not in favor of building a fence all the way along the border, but I will tell you this. I am in favor of some of the things that Congressman Sylvester Reyes has said, which is there is fencing needed in particular areas, especially in Laredo and El Paso, but also paying attention to what the border chiefs actually say. I think if we listen to them to find out where surveillance equipment is needed and different things like that, we can really address those issues. I truly don't believe that terrorism is the issue here. I think it's more about undocumented workers coming in our country illegally, and also about the drug cartel and drug problems. And we have to address those in other ways. But the federal government's got to step up. They've really failed. They've really failed us, but not providing us with more border patrol agents and the things that we possibly need. And of course, once again, everything falls to the state to fund, to pay for, and it's truly unfair.
What other needs and issues are you hearing from your constituents from your future constituents as you walk around and talk to people in the district?
Other issues, public ed. When you talk to parents, I hear two things quite a bit, that college tuition has become unaffordable. I don't think that when we deregulated college tuition, we really understood what we were doing, or we didn't understand the power we gave to colleges. And I can't even begin to tell you the rate of the skyrocketing costs, but think about it this way. At this day and age, who can actually go to college now? If your parents can't afford to fully pay for your college, and you are not one of those lucky few that gets a four-year scholarship that pays for your college, there are only going to be so many professions that you can go into that you can afford to pay back your bill, because you'll be in debt for years. Say this, how many teachers? What's the incentive for you to become a teacher? I mean, you're only going to start out making around $40,000 a year. How are you ever going to be able to pay that debt off? So I think it discourages kids from getting into different fields that we really need. Me thinking that being a teacher is one of the most important occupations that we have in this country. So I think we need to address the rising cost of college tuition, but also at a more local level, I think we really need to take a serious look at the tox test. When you talk to parents about education, they're really, one of the reasons that they give to you for wanting to send their kids to private school is because there's so much emphasis placed on the tox test. We all understand the need for standardized testing. We've always had it. We always will have it. But when that becomes the end all of education, you spend all your time teaching around that test, teaching how to game the test, you're missing the sole purpose, which is to educate kids. Kids are bored in school. Parents don't like it. They want a safe environment for their, also that's another thing, they want a safe environment for their kids in schools. And I think that education is the number one reason that people vote for a state legislature. They see that as one of the top issues that they look at in voting for a state legislator.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No.
All right. Well then, Christy Thibaut, thank you very much for your time, and good luck in November.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.